You have a sermon outline in your bulletin, I believe, and titling this message, How to Experience Happiness. How many want to be happy? Well, God wants you to be happy, and God wants to remove everything that hinders your happiness. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you life, eternal and abundant. I read once about something that a psychologist said, and he said that in order to be happy, the human soul has to feel safe, clean, and significant. What he meant by that was, in order to really be happy, you need a sense of security. You need freedom. You need to feel like you are valuable, that your life matters, and that you are not condemned. And you must have the shame that has been in your life removed. Now, that's a word of a psychologist. That sounds like the Bible, my friends. And I'm thankful that God provides this for us. But many people do not feel what I've just described to you. They walk around as if something is not right in their life. They don't understand what's not right. They have a lurking sense of judgment. For some, it's because they know that they have messed up. For others, they can't put their finger on it, but they know that there's just this sense of emptiness. Something is lacking in their life. It's as if a cloud is hovering over them, and they feel a sense of shame. They feel as though they're not good enough, and they feel as though if people knew what was really in their heart or in their life, then they would be rejected by people, and they have so much guilt and shame. That's why people spend their whole life trying to prove to others that they are good enough, that they're valuable enough. Can you relate to what I'm talking about today? So here is the question for us today. Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? And if so, what is keeping me from experiencing happiness? Now we're going to go to our text, which is Psalm 32. I am a blessed preacher today. You know why? Because I do not really have to preach very hard today. The scripture preaches for itself. I just have to make sure I don't get in the way and mess this thing up. Psalm 32, verse 1, begins with words that I love. Blessed. That's how it begins. How many want to be blessed? Do you know what the word blessed literally means? It means happy is the man. Happy is the woman. Happy is the teenager. Happy is the child. Happy was Janice when she found the Lord. Amen? That's what produces happiness in your life, is when you receive the life of God for you that Jesus bled and died for. Let's read verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How many are blessed today? Hallelujah. If you can't say hallelujah, then this morning maybe you need to come and let Jesus cleanse you and forgive you and give you life forevermore. It goes on and it says, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, in whose spirit is no deceit. Think, we have no earthly idea the full meaning of verse 2. I'm going to illustrate it for you. I've told this story before, but it's one of those stories I will tell till I die. It's called the Three Sins a Day story. And how many sins, everybody knows that you're a sinner, right? How many sins would you have to commit to be a good person? Someone might say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, somebody might say, well, maybe three a day. You know, and some of you go, oh, three, man, I could never do that. You know, for me, it might be more like 100, but three. Let's imagine if you just committed three sins a day. And some of you might be saying, three, man, I'm a pretty good person. I only commit one or two. Some days I go without sinning at all. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be that person who thinks that. Because some people, when they think about sin, they just think of the big bad things like adultery or murder or whatever, you know, something that you carry. And everybody has their own different list, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's so easy to look at somebody else and see what they've done and think that, well, that's bad, but not me. But even if you sin just three times a day, you know how many sins that would be in a year? Can you do the math? About 1,000. 1,000. Then if you live to be 70 years old, I'm going to a birthday party today for a lady. She's 100. 100 years. If you live to be 100, three sins a day would be 1,000 sins in a year, and that would be 100. That would be 100,000 sins, and for some of us, it would be give or take a million or two. You know what I'm talking about? That's right, because most of us are not three sins a day type of people, right? Because what sin really is, when you think about what sin really, really is, it's not just what you do, but it's what you think. It's a matter of the heart. It's what's in the heart. And it's also even a matter of what you think about. And then let me give you the kicker. The Bible talks about sins of omission, things that we're supposed to do that we don't do. Friends, you can do absolutely nothing and sin. Think about it. So three sins a day, you'd almost have to be an angel. You'd almost have to be perfect to commit just three sins. And so if you committed three sins a day and you live to be 70, that's 70,000 sins. And you think you're going to stand before God and tell God that you're good enough to enter into a perfect heaven? I tell this to you today to help every one of us realize that we need forgiveness. And the Bible says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. And when we realize how great our sin is, then when we receive the free gift of eternal life, happiness comes and floods our soul because we know that we have been forgiven. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, in whose spirit there is no deceit. That means that you've been honest with God. You said, God, I've blown it. I messed up. I'm a sinner. But then you received his free gift of eternal life. And when you stand before God someday, he will not count your sins against you. Hallelujah. In this psalm, he's connecting happiness to forgiveness. If you really want to be happy, then you need to be forgiven. And if you're not happy, if you don't have joy, then perhaps you've not received the forgiveness that God has for you. And if you are not happy, perhaps it's because there's something keeping you from happiness. And what is keeping you from happiness is unforgiveness. It's shame. It's guilt. It's all those things that are associated with sin. And that feeling of shame that we all experience at some point in our life, maybe on a regular basis, maybe there's a grain of truth to it. Perhaps there really is something wrong. Even if it's distorted, we understand that is the result of a sinful life. So if you're going to be blessed, you have to deal with sin. Look at verse 3. For when I kept silent, what does that mean? I didn't deal with it. I just hid it. I tried Adam and Eve in the garden when they had sinned against God and their nakedness was exposed and they felt shame and guilt for the first time. What did they do? They hid. Now, when you hide, you remember playing hide and seek? When you hide, you have to be quiet. That's why little kids love to play hide and seek, but they're not very good at it. And all you have to do as a mom and dad is listen, because in a few moments you can hear them giggling and the giggle will reveal where they're at. That's exactly right. So when I kept silent, what happened? My bones wasted away. Have you ever had one of those days where your bones hurt? Yeah, you had a bony day? What do people say when their bones hurt? What? Oh, you're just aching. And you say, oh, there must be a change in the weather. Something really significant, because when your bones hurt, you hurt to the core, right? There's nothing worse than bone pain. It says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And I want you to understand today that this feeling that the psalmist was experiencing, this sense of wasting away, this feeling that God's hand was upon him, is a gift. It's a gift. Because if you don't feel that, if you don't sense that something's not right, you'll not look for a Savior. You'll not look to God. You'll not come to him and need what he has for you. See, the psalmist looks up to God and he connects this feeling of unhappiness with a sense of condemnation. And he's correct in doing that. When Adam and Eve sinned, they felt shame. They felt the sense of their nakedness. And so they did what any people would do. They did what? They hid, but they also made what? Covering for their nakedness. They hid in the bushes and they got fig leaves to cover them. Now, every couple years, I have a dream. Confession is good for the soul, so I'll tell you about my dream. Happens in two different forms. One is, this happens only about every 2 years, I will show up to preach at some event, and there will be a large crowd of people. And I will step up on the platform, and suddenly I'll be on the platform to preach the gospel, and I'm there in just my boxers. Don't let that happen ever again. It's a terrifying experience. Hey, yes, and you'd say amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Sometimes I'm at the lunch line in school. I'm standing in the lunch line about to get my tray, and everybody around me is clothed, and there I am standing in my boxer shorts. It's a terrifying thing. You know why it's terrifying? Because normal people do not like to be exposed in front of other people. I said normal people. There are those who take great delight in exposing themselves. But for us, we feel a sense of shame with our nakedness. That's exactly what Adam and Eve felt, and they hid. But you know, there is some shame that is not legitimate. So I must mention it to you. There's some shame that is caused by suffering and abuse that other people inflict upon you. Today I'm not talking about that kind of shame. I'm talking about the shame that comes from our own rebellion against God. I'm talking about the shame that comes from our sin. And that kind of shame, that kind of guilt is good, because what it does is it causes us to look to God for some kind of solution for our shame. It's kind of like pain. How many know pain can be good? If I'm standing here and I put my hand on a hot stove, I'm grateful for pain, because that pain tells me I need to remove my hand from the stove or I'm going to burn my hand off. And when your guilt, your condemnation, your shame leads you to the cross, then friends, it is a good thing. It's a gift from God to your life. And some of us may be at that place right now, today, where you're sensing that something's just not right. Maybe you're at a place where you see the harm your selfishness has caused other people. Maybe you've lived a certain way for years and you're only now realizing the consequences that have come from your actions. Imagine with me for a moment that someone is observing everything you do in your life. Not just what you do, but also what you think and also what you say. Imagine with me today if we could take the last week of your life and play it on the video screen behind me. And we could open up your heart and show everyone, expose your life. Everything you've said, everything that you've done, everything you didn't do, every opportunity you had, it would be right there for everyone to see. I say that to you for this reason. Isn't that the way it is with God? He sees it. He knows it. Nothing is hidden from him. He sees not just what you've done, but he sees all the things that you've felt and thought in your mind. Look at verse 4. It says, day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I want you to see the realization that your guilt and your shame is a gift from God. And it makes me think of those words, amazing grace. They go like this. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So my first point to you today is to find happiness, you must be honest about your sin. You cannot hide it. You've got to bring it out in the open. You can't cover it up. You've got to say, God, here it is. Here's my life. Here's everything that I have done. Here's my shame. Here's my nakedness. And that is a revelation of your heart, that you're being honest with God. And that fear will lead you to grace, which will lead you to salvation, which will bring happiness to your soul. You know, what did God do when he went in the garden after they sinned? What did he ask Adam and Eve? Where are you? And then after he found them and they were hiding and they were covering, what did God do? God killed an animal and he provided a covering for them. And in order for you and I, God is asking the question, where are you? And you have to answer that question with honesty and say to God, here I am, and here is my sin, here is my guilt, here is my shame. The second thing you have to do is to find happiness, you must own your sin. Own it. Not only be honest, but you have to own it. Look at verse 5. This is so good. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. You did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. 6 times in verse 5, he references himself. 6 times. He uses the word me or I 6 times. What is he doing? He is acknowledging that is my sin. Now, what do we typically do when we get caught? We justify our actions. We try to make an excuse. Instead of owning our sin, we make a justification for sin. Think about what Adam did when God said to Adam, Adam, what have you done? What did Adam do? He took it like a man. And he blamed his wife. He took it like a man. You notice what he said. The woman that you gave me made me eat it. The woman you gave me. In one sentence, he blamed 2 people. Eve and God. Think about that. The woman you gave me. And that's exactly what we do with God. We try to blame someone else. And we need to own our sin. We need to come clean with God and say, God, this is my sin, my iniquity. I heard a story. It's very cute. It's about a little boy who's about 3rd grade, we'll say. And you know, boys, when they're in 3rd grade, what do they like to do, especially at night? They like to dress up in their little outfits and run around the house being Superman or Batman. On this particular night, this little 3rd grader, he put on a shark outfit. He's running around the house being a shark. Well, it came time for bath. And so Dad got him and started running up bath water. And so the boy starts to get in the bathtub, and Dad says, man, you're going to have to take that shark outfit off if you're going to take a bath. And he goes, no, Dad. Sharks, they love water. So he wanted to dive into the water. And then the dad says, no, no, son, don't you understand? We're taking a bath. We're not doing swimming lessons here. It's bath time. Finally, the dad finally said to the boy, he said, boy, if you're going to get clean, you got to get naked. Listen to me. If you're going to be clean, you've got to come and expose yourself before Almighty God. And just like Adam and Eve were naked before the Lord, we got to, pardon the expression, but symbolically come before God naked and say, I am a sinner and I have to own my sin. And then guess what? You can be clean. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Happiness comes when you not only will own your sin, but happiness comes when you learn to hate your sin, not just its consequences. Think about that. You got to hate the sin, not just the consequences of it. How many have ever seen somebody who got caught doing something, and then they appeared to be so remorseful? But they weren't remorseful for what they did. They were sorry they got caught. Let me give you an example. Basketball coach, the Iowa Hawkeyes. He was so irate at something that the referee did during the game. He was over there arguing with him. Then he used nasty, foul, filthy language. He said something to that referee that was, you just don't say. He got kicked out of the game. He not only got kicked out of the game, afterwards they suspended him. Not just the university, but the Big Ten suspended him. And they fined him $10,000. It's starting to hurt. He's starting to feel sorry that he got caught. Then he has a press conference and he makes a long apology. He apologizes to the University of Iowa. He apologizes to the Big Ten. He apologizes to the players. He apologizes to the fans. He apologizes to the water boy. But I noticed something in there. Not one time did he apologize to the referee. And you know what? It told me he's not sorry for what he did. He is sorry he got caught. That's right. And many people do that with God. We're sorry we got caught. When God wants us to begin to hate our sin. Notice verse 5. It says, I acknowledge my sin. And then I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Notice verse 9. It says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit, or they will not come to you. The word confess means to see things from the perspective of the one you have wronged. It's not just a matter of saying something like this, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard that? If I offended you, I'm sorry. That person is not sorry for what they said. They're sorry that you got upset about it. You know, this suddenly turned into marriage counseling. They're not sorry for what they said. They just wish you didn't get so upset about it. And when you really confess something, then you have to realize how the other person took it, and you have to have their perspective. If I hurt Jonna, I can't. It's not good enough just to say, honey, I'm sorry that what I did hurt you. No, I have to understand what it was that hurt her, and then I got to hate what I did that caused me to hurt her. That's what repentance truly is. It's a change of heart, mind, and direction. And this is important because if you want to have happiness, then you got to begin to see your sin for what God sees it. You've got to see it as something that's hurtful, something that will bring destruction to your life. Because oftentimes we love our sin, don't we? Now hear me, just hear me. Sin is dangerous. It's destructive. The Bible says that sin causes death. The thief comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. It might be pleasurable for a season, but friends, it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And you'll get so far down the road, and you have drifted so far away. You've done so many things, and you can't believe that you've come to this place, and it's cost you everything. And it's at that point you could save yourself from that if from the very beginning you begin to see it from God's perspective. So confessing means that I agree with God. Notice verse 9, it says, don't be like the mule. What causes the mule to go the right way? The bit. See, if you have a mule go where you want it to go, it's not because he likes you. It's not because you're such a good horseman. It's not just because he's come around to your way of thinking. The only reason the mule is going where you want it to go is because of the pain of the bit that is in his mouth. And because he hates the pain, he'll go where you want him to go. God wants a different kind of heart. He wants you to go where he wants you to go, not because of the pain that's in your life, but because you see that his way is best and that he loves you. And that he offers you life. Amen? Do you feel what I'm feeling today? Do you see what I'm saying today? So to find happiness, we have to not only own our sin, but we have to change our thinking about our sin. And now I'm going to share with you verse 10. But the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. It says there that the Lord's love surrounds those who trust him. Rejoice and be glad. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. The happiness that comes into your life when you change the direction of your life is one that only the Lord can give you. The psalmist has changed. He's confessed. He's seen his sin from God's perspective. Now he has a newfound trust in God. And along with the change comes happiness. How many have experienced that? That's what you wrote it. That's what you talked about, Janice. You talked about the change that came into your life, the happiness that came into your life. Number 5, to find happiness, you must hide in God. Verse 7, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with what? Shouts of deliverance. Let's go back to the garden for a moment. What did God do to cover the sin of Adam and Eve? He killed an animal. Now go to the cross. What did God do to take care of your sin? He put the death penalty upon his only son, and Jesus died. And when Jesus died, he cried out in a loud voice, what? It is finished. And the word in the Greek means tetelestai, and it means that your sin debt has been paid. If you were a prisoner in the Roman world of that day and your sentence had been commuted, they would give you a piece of paper and they would mark on the paper tetelestai. The debt has been paid and you are free. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And when the enemy comes in, and you feel shame after you've confessed your sin, you need to say with a loud voice, it is finished. I am forgiven. My debt has been paid, and I am a child of God. I want you to imagine this. Let's say a friend of yours has a car. He's underwater, can't make his payments, so you feel sorry for him, and you go down to the bank, and you pay off the loan. Thousands of dollars. And now later, a week later, the bank sends the collection agency out to his house, and he gets to get the car. They take the car to wherever they take it. When they take your car from you because you didn't pay for it, you get wind of what has happened, and you go down to their office, you go down to their lot, you go into the office, and how are you going to tell them that the debt has been paid? You're going to say something like this. That's not your car. It's my car. The debt has been, you're going to use a loud voice to declare to them that the debt has been paid and the car is not theirs, and you're going to take the car back. And when the enemy comes and he heaps guilt and shame on your life when you mess up, You need to remember that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. We are free in Jesus Christ. And happiness comes when you're free. Imagine with me today, someone could wipe out all your debt. How would you feel? You'd be happy, wouldn't you? Someone said ecstatic. Someone else is thinking, go ahead and try it, and I'll tell you how I feel. Oh, think about all my sins have been washed away, and I'm free. Thank God I am free. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful psalm of victory. You shout at us songs of deliverance. You surround us with songs of deliverance. We are free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you give us this hope, that when we feel shame, it leads us to grace, and that grace leads us to the Savior who washes away all our sins. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray for every person in this room today. And if you need the Savior, if you need the Lord in your life today, you need forgiveness. It's a prayer away. The Lord is right there. He's right here in this place. And I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray, will you just pray this prayer in your heart? Confess your sin to God. And he will cleanse you. And he will give you happiness. We have to come clean before God. We have to own our sin. We cannot hide it. Father, today, thank you for Jesus. He became a man. He bled and he died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free. I pray that today every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, would receive the forgiveness that you provide. God, cleanse us today. Come into my heart. Purify me. I'm a believer, Lord, in your Son, Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. But I want to be clean today. I want to be pure before you. So cover me. Cover me with your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.